You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution with another edition of the Southern Fried Soccer Podcast. That music was Tyler Childers, who is one of my favorites. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Doug Robertson AJC, on Facebook at Atlanta United News Now, and I hope that you will consider subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And I want to thank everyone for your excellent questions about last night's game, and I'm going to answer those in just a bit after I recap the action last night. Atlanta United did something it hasn't done before in its short history. In last night's 1-0 win against Alajuelense in Costa Rica in the first leg of its Champions League series, the team emerged victorious in its first game of the season. A big thanks to Mike Conte for pointing that out on Twitter last night. The team didn't win its openers under Gerardo Martino, the famous loss to Red Bulls and the horrible loss to Houston, nor did it win its first games under Frank de Boer. And the fact that it last night won against one of the better teams in Central America while playing with just 10 men for the final 47 minutes, to me, was truly remarkable. You throw in the fact that it was Gabriel Heinze's first game in charge of the team. The team hadn't played in more than 4 months, and it was facing a Alajuelense team that hadn't lost since November and is running away with the Costa Rican table. And it was a fantastic performance. And that they were only playing with 10 men for the final 47 minutes. But let's go through some of the game details. The starting lineup featured Brad Guzan in goal, with Miles Robinson and Anton Walkes as the center backs, George Bello and Brooks Lennon as the fullbacks, Santiago Sosa, Emerson Hyman, and Franco Ibarra as the central midfielders, Ezequiel Barco and Jake Mulroney as the wingers, and Lisandro Lopez as the sole strikers. It marked the debuts of Sosa, Ibarra, and Lopez for the team. Joseph Martinez and Jurgen Damm were among the players on the bench. The team was without Martinez because of his injury recovery from last year's surgery. And Marcelino Moreno was not available because he was serving a red card suspension from last year's Champions League game. So that meant Barco was the only designated player in the starting lineup, again adding to the fable of last night. Guzan was forced off in the 43rd minute after a straight red card. That came after a bad pass from Barco or a touch. It's not quite clear looking at the replay if it was a pass or just a touch. He was trying to work defensively, and it just kind of happened. Guzan had to come out of his goal and try to make a tackle on an Alajuelense player, collided. At first, the referee brought out a yellow card, and then he brought out a red card. Off went Guzan. On came Rocco Rios Novo, an 18-year-old who signed to a 4-day contract on Monday from Atlanta United 2. Rios Novo is on loan with Atlanta United 2 from Lanús in Argentina. They went to halftime, and then Atlanta United got the only goal it would need on a penalty by Barco in the 50th minute. The penalty kick was a result of a cross by Bello, which the referee deemed to have hit the hand of an Alajuelense player. A slow-motion replay shown later in the game proved that the ball hit the player's face and not his arm, but they don't have VAR in the competition yet, and so the call stood, which is interesting because VAR might have also saved Guzan from getting a red card, but it also saved Atlanta United's penalty kick. So as I tweeted last night, it taketh and it giveth, and that's all the five stripes would need. The team worked together on defense, particularly Robinson and Walks, who won everything in the air, and Sosa, who kind of dropped back as a third center back. Combined, they made 9 tackles and were part of 52 duels won by the team. I thought Sosa was fantastic last night. I thought most everybody on the team looked really good. I thought Ibarra and Hyman were pretty quiet in the first half, but Ibarra was quiet against Charleston in that training exercise and then really came on later as the game progressed. Hyman did the work that he needed to do in the central midfield. I thought Barco, he had a couple of bad giveaways, but I thought he looked really, really good last night, really, really determined. He was smart with the ball, particularly late in the game when Atlanta United was trying to relieve pressure, and he would go on runs either looking to create a one-on-one situation or looking to get fouled to relieve the pressure, and that worked a couple of times. He did get a little bit lucky on his penalty kick. It looked like it went right through the goalkeeper's hands, but a goal is a goal. So credit to Barco for the kick, the confidence to take the kick. He did hit it well. He had a fantastic free kick in the first half. I've been critical of Barco in the past, but I also try to give him his due when it's deserved, and it was deserved last night. Again, a big, big year for Barco. I thought Robinson and Walks were a fantastic center back pairing. You're going to see them again, I'm going to assume, on Tuesday in the second leg of the Champions League series. Some of you were surprised that Brooks Lennon got the nod over Ronald Hernandez. As you saw, Hernandez wasn't even in the game day lineup. Jack Gurr got the nod ahead of him. Hernandez did not look good against Birmingham. I don't know if he was carrying an injury or something, but that may be why. The other surprise maybe was Jake Mulroney in place of Jurgen Damm. Mulroney, to me, is a much better crosser of the ball than Jurgen Damm. I think both of the players hold on to the ball a little bit too long. Jurgen said that's kind of what Heinze wants them to do. There were times last night that I thought Mulroney would have been much better served with a one-touch pass and then move into the space because he is very fast. He's not as fast as Damm, but he's very fast. But I thought he played really well. I think you probably see Jurgen Damm start the next game, but we'll get into that in just a little bit. So, now, again, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Doug Robertson AJC and find me on Facebook at Atlanta United News Now. Let's go on to your questions. Scott asks, Doug, I enjoyed your tweets and your article last night, but was surprised there was nothing about the game in today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution. A whole page to the NHL, however. Does the AJC realize we 17s are hungry and aren't getting fed enough? There are a lot of us and we buy stuff. So the game started at 8:08 last night, didn't end until 10-something, and it's just a little bit too late for our deadlines, our print deadlines. If you look at the e-edition, there should be something about the game in the e-edition of the paper. The paper is really starting to ramp up, providing extra content in the e-edition. You've noticed we've been doing it for the Hawks for a long time. We're now starting it with the Braves, and there could be plans for more topics in the future. So please be patient as we continue to try to provide valuable content for the subscribers on our digital platforms. Michael asks, it was interesting to see Brad give the captain's armband to Lisandro Lopez after getting sent off. Lisandro is new to the team, but it made sense with his experience, and I figured he came in and made an immediate impact in the locker room. When Atlanta United came out for the second half, Hyman was wearing the captain's armband. Did you see him as being the second captain behind Brad? Going through the potential starting roster outside of Brad, I wasn't sure who would be next in line for the captain's armband. I just didn't expect Hyman. I guess that's a little bit of surprise. Hyman has been with the team now 2-plus years. I don't really know who else could have gotten it. Maybe Brooks Lynn could have gotten it. Lisandro Lopez has said he's not a very vocal guy. I don't know if that's what Heinze wants from the captain, but obviously Lisandro Lopez has the best resume of everyone on Atlanta United's roster right now. But I guess a change was made at halftime. It might have been, I don't want to say it was because Hyman can communicate with the referee, because Lopez can communicate with the referee probably much better than Hyman. But we'll see who gets the armband on Tuesday. That'll be a pretty good indication of who Heinze thinks is kind of the vice captain or secondary captain or co-captain or whatever term you want to use. As for Hyman and his performance last night, as I said, I thought he played particularly well. Looking at his stats, Hyman played all 90 minutes. He had one shot on target, 42 touches, 36 passes, completed 81% of his passes, and one foul. He didn't have any tackles, but that kind of wasn't his job. His job was to clog the passing lanes and to try to spring people going forward, and I thought he was successful in doing that last night. Adam asks, has the team said anything about Lundgaard yet? I don't know what you're asking them to say about Lundgaard. He did play against Birmingham, and I thought he did well, but Rios Novo got a lot of time and goal both against Birmingham and Charleston. I think he's probably better with his feet than Lundgaard, so that's why I think you're going to see Rios Novo in goal again. Adam's second question, was Mulroney in the wide right playing as an inverted winger will be extremely dangerous from the small sample size we got last night. Looked like he could cause problems himself, but more importantly, the space he leaves out wide can be filled by Lennon, who can play some dangerous crosses into the box. Hopefully we can develop similar dangers on the left. I think you will. I wrote a story last week about how the wingers, the fullbacks, and the number eight kind of interact with each other to form triangles, in which case they read each other and move into the spaces that were left vacant by movement. You did see Mulroney and Lennon working well together last night. I don't think you would going to see Bello get forward quite as often because Barco, I don't think, is as good a defender as Mulroney, so Bello has to stay back. You did see him get forward a little bit too much at times last night, and the space behind him did get exploited a couple of times in the first half, which is another question I'll get to. But that was the case with Bello last year. He got forward a little too often, a little too soon early in the season, and then kind of figured out when he could get forward and when he couldn't and how far he could get forward. So I think that that's going to get rectified as he gets more playing time this season. Dion and Andrew asked similar questions. Do I believe Rocco will get the start for the second leg since Guzan will be out because of his red card? Yes, I do. I don't think he would have been on the game day roster here if they didn't believe that he was the second best choice right now. Alec Khan is still recovering, or Khan, I should say, is still recovering from off-season surgery. I don't think he's even training with the team yet. Lundgaard didn't make the game day roster, so I do think it'll be Rios Novo and on Tuesday in the second leg at Kennesaw State. Dion asked a second question. What were my thoughts on the back line, specifically in the first half? Yeah, they played well, but they were a little bit shaky at times. But I think that's a lot of first game nerves. These were live bullets, so to speak. Alajuelense is a lot better than Birmingham and a lot better than Charleston. I think you'll see those kind of get worked out a little bit in this second game and continue to improve as they go forward. Walks and Robinson started together, I think I wrote this the other day, I think it was 9 times last season. So they had good chemistry, but they're also learning a new system under Heinze in which they play much more wide than they did under DeBoer. And neither one of them played a whole lot as center back under Tata. So they're learning the system too. I think they're going to get better. They do need to iron out some of the communication issues and some of the bad passes from the first half. Richard asks, did you get to see much of Heinze interacting and coaching? Is he engaged at all during the match with instructions, or is he more tactical with his communication? Because of the camera angle, last night, I wasn't at the game. I was not in Costa Rica. I'm not traveling yet. There's really no need to because all post-game stuff is done by Zoom, so there's no point in the paper paying for me to go to these places if I can just sit at my desk or on the couch and do the interviews the same as if I were there. I do wish, I do hope to travel at some point this season once or if that media policy gets changed. I'm not complaining about the policy. It's for everyone's safety. It just makes doing my job a little bit more difficult. For example, last night we only got to talk to Heinze and we only got to talk to Rios Novo. If I were at the game, either home or away, I would have gotten to speak to several more players and been able to write several more follow stories for you. So I assume that Heinze was doing interacting and coaching because that seems to be the type of guy he is based upon what the players say during the training sessions, but I didn't get to see for a fact. Was there a pair or a trio? This is a second question from Richard. Was there a pair or a trio that stood out to you as if to a good start on chemistry? I thought as the game went on, Sosa, Walks, and Robinson played very, very well together. as a kind of a three center back tandem. I thought Emerson, Hyman, and Ibarra got stronger in the second half, as I said earlier. I'm looking for brighter things from them after a good start. And his last question is, final third stagnation was a problem last year. It felt like we're past that last night. Do I agree? And did they look decisive in the attacking third, like they knew what they wanted? So my biggest concern going into this game last night was the offense. Having gone and watched them live at Birmingham, there were some issues. They weren't moving very well, I didn't think, in trying to find spaces and trying to make Birmingham make decisions on defense. I was a little bit concerned about that last night. There were some small issues with that last night. Lisandro Lopez was dropping deeper and deeper to get the ball. I thought he struggled a little bit last night, but again, he hasn't played in a while. He's 38. I think he'll come good. Barco and Mulroney had a couple of problems last night holding the ball, holding onto the ball a little bit too long in the final third. But I do think that Atlanta United created a couple of really good chances off of set pieces in the first half. Miles Robinson had one that I've got to think he would once back. He had a perfect run up. Nobody got on to him on a corner kick for a header, and he headed it down like you're supposed to, but he almost headed it too far down. He didn't really get to put it on goal. I think as you see Moreno come in and as Joseph Martinez gets his legs back under him, the offense is going to improve by a great deal. But I do think there were some good signs last night, but there's still a few concerns, in my opinion. JR asks, how does Marcelino Moreno being available change the selection in play? That's a really good question, because Ezequiel Barco mostly played as an attacking midfielder, a central attacking midfielder, probably in the role Ibarra played last night during the preseason. So on Tuesday, I think you may see Moreno move out to the left, Barco move centrally, and he was kind of drifting inside a lot more last night anyway, as opposed to being on the left, with Mulroney or Dom on the right. Now, you put Mulroney and Dom on the right, and Alajuelense is going to have to push to get that goal. They've got to get that goal. It's going to leave so much space potentially open behind, and Moreno and Dom are so fast. If Barco and or Hyman, whoever starts centrally, can get that ball and put it into space, counterattacks are going to be the thing to watch on Tuesday. So I think you're going to see both those guys start, with probably Ibarra coming off. And this, I think, is one of the more intriguing questions. It's the finale of the ones y'all sent to me. And again, thank you very much for what you sent to me. Ben asks, do I think the win last night justified Atlanta United in not sending players to play for the USA in Olympic qualifying? And I don't know if justified is the right word, because their concerns were a little bit more about them missing the game because of COVID protocols, I think. But I guess since that's the word you used, yes, it did. I thought the three players are Brooks Lennon, Miles Robinson, and George Bello, who were called up into the preliminary roster for the USA for the failed qualifying in Guadalajara, Mexico. And then the two sides, Atlanta United and the U.S. Soccer Federation, in this case the team led by Jason Kreis, couldn't figure out a way to get those three players back in time from the tournament to be able to compete for Atlanta United in last night's game. Now, this decision had been made that weekend, and then for some reason, U.S. Soccer put out a roster on Monday that included Robinson, Bello, and Lennon, when everyone knew they weren't going. I don't know why U.S. Soccer did that. I asked, and no one would ever answer the question. I don't want to say that U.S. Soccer did that to make Atlanta United look bad, but it was either just a simple clerical error by the U.S. Soccer Federation, or that is what they did, because it was known that weekend that the players weren't coming. But anyway, yes, Lennon looked really, really good last night. Robinson looked really, really good last night, and Bello looked really, really good last night. Just going through their numbers, Lennon played 90 minutes, led the team in chances created, completed 86% of his passes, had three tackles, and won a foul. That's a pretty good performance in my book. Miles Robinson, 90 minutes, one shot, 62 touches, 45 passes, completed 84.4% of his passes, two tackles, 2001, only one foul conceded, which is remarkable considering the heat they were under in the last 15 minutes of that game. George Bello, 90 minutes, 44 touches, 28 passes, 82% passing percentage, one foul conceded. That's three solid performances by the Atlanta United players. Brooks Lennon, again, kind of unsung as a quality player for Atlanta United. A lot of you said Santiago Sosa was your man of the match. I'm not going to argue with you. He also played extremely, extremely well. All right, so that is going to wrap up this edition of Southern Fried Soccer Podcast. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Doug Robertson AJC, on Facebook at Atlanta United News Now. I hope you'll consider subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Thank you again for your questions. Atlanta United will next play on Tuesday in the second leg of its Champions League series against Alajuelense. Atlanta United leads 1-0. It has always made it out of the round of 16 into the quarterfinals in its previous two appearances in the Champions League. We'll see if it can be done again. Please look for more content about Atlanta United later this week. We're still waiting on the interview schedule from the team. There may not be because they may be in quarantine because of international travel, but we'll find out. This is Southern Fried Soccer Podcast. I'm Doug Robertson. Thank you for listening.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving art scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.